Welcome to Founders Time Podcast, where founders shine. Have you ever thought, I have this idea and I'd love to start a business, I'm just not sure how? Then you're in the right place. Founders Time aimed to inform and empower female vetpreneurs, military, veteran, and military spouses entrepreneurs by sharing actionable steps, tips, and resources to grow your business lean and smart. Everything you would need to start, scale, and succeed. Now, your host, Niurka Castaneda.
Live, welcome to Founders Time Podcast. And today we have Rich Mitra with us that is here to tell us about himself, why he decided to write the bestseller, Amazon bestseller book, and tell us about everything about it and why you wrote it. And what do you expect that's going to happen? How do you think it's going to revolutionize people that read it? Break up with yourself, how to unmask, and unbecome the man you are told to be. So tell us all about
it. Thank you, first of all, Niurka, having me on the show. So, of course, jumping right to the question, what made me write it? I think the answer is very simple. When you are a parent, there are things that you would do for your kid that you would otherwise normally wouldn't do. And I think it's true with me as well. I was in a very bad state during my son's birth. And that led me to addiction, that led me to a lot of stuff that was not really serving the purpose of being a father. And not to mention, my marriage was in turmoil. There was a lot of other things that were going on that made me question a lot of these things. And especially when I reached out to a lot of my acquaintances, all I heard is man up. And that's kind of led me through the rabbit hole of is this it? Is this what it is to be a man? If that's what it is, at that point, I was thinking, man, it's a curse, because here I am sitting here abused, and I will get to it, and going through a really confusing times. And suddenly now all I can hear, all the people I know, is just to really the different versions of the word man up. And when I realized that actually led me to start doing a lot of research. And that's how I started my podcast, Dads and Deadlifts. And the book was next in line. Actually, as a matter of fact, I started writing the mind map of the book before actually I launched the podcast. So one of the things that what I understood is when we are really talking about Me Too movement and empowering women, we are leaving a bigger chunk of that on the table or on the sideline. And that is nothing but the other side of it, yin and yang balance of men and women. So you cannot educate one sector of the society, one gender, to be empowered, to be acknowledged, seen, and be given their due rights without educating the other half, the men. Because if men is the problem, then chastising them or having them labeled as toxic masculinity and that became the buzzword now, with all the definition of this man up and boys don't cry in one blanket, and the character it creates basically. And then you need to educate them too. You cannot keep punishing someone without training them or without teaching them. Now, after the teaching, after they know this, if they're still not willing to change, that's on them. But as an individual, as a human being, everyone should at least be aware of how and what they're perceiving and portraying in the big picture of the society itself. So that kind of led me to the path of really went through the research and all book, lots of books, and started realizing that my trauma of abuse came back to me when my son was born. And if anyone have read the book, Body Keeps the Score, if you haven't read it, go read it. Our body stores trauma for 7 generations. 7.
Wow.
And so if you're not doing something about it, you are constantly seeping that trauma through the next generation and next generation and next generation. And what happens is the cycle just keeps going. And that's exactly why I use those words, because these were the things that were going. How to unmask the idea of this machoism of masculinity. How to unbecome that, because that creates a character, a habit, and eventually that person. How to unbecome that person and end the cycle of toxic masculinity. Again, the definition of the culmination of all the behaviors that comes from them. So that's where the main focus went. And when I started writing the book, and in my mind map, I always knew that I don't want to make the book about me. I don't want to be another book in someone's library to be like, oh yeah, I read about someone's memoir. That's not what this book is about. This book is actually about what I did, the work. And really, trust me when I say this, like, this took 5 years and lots of tweaks, lots of changes. At one point of time, I think I was telling in New Yorker the other day, I actually deleted a quarter of that book, actually more than that, 25,000 words.
Oh.
The reason is because I didn't resonate with it. Because, you know, over the span of months and years, I constantly keep changing this, like learning different things and what suits me. Because there are lots of teachers, lots of gurus, lots of training programs. But I personally think, like, you have to kind of understand. And a lot of the times I see a lot of people complain that, hey, I took this coaching program, I did this, I did that, nothing really changed. Well, nothing will change because you are doing the same thing over and over again. So, you know, it's Einstein's word. If you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, it's the idea of stupidity, or, you know. So then I actually took all this and went back and actually really started looking at following a pattern. That's all I did, is just following that pattern of my daily behavior for 3-4 months. And then I really started seeing a solid pattern of my mental health, of how I perceive and what I do and how I need to heal. And then that's how I started creating what appeals to me. So this is why I came up with the CALM program, you know, because everyone always tells you, calm down, right? Like, what is it? Like, you cannot, there are things, there are words that triggers. So I wanted to give it a positive connotation in my life. And honestly, it was a very selfish reason. I wanted to use that word to change it in my brain. Like, I don't like the word, how it had been said in my lifetime, in a different circumstances. And you start creating these behaviors and stacking these habits, right? And then you start perceiving a completely negative, different story of that. So now, 10 years, 15 years down the line, if someone is just eventually just even jokingly saying, calm down, my trigger is on. So I wanted to give that a positive connotation, and that's where it came from. And yeah, it's a culmination of a lot of work. I mean, it's nothing to do with my story. I think I just swiftly mentioned about what happened to me because it's real. It happens, and someone needs to open up. And that's exactly what the first step is, expression. So, and that's exactly how I started. That's exactly how the book was basically formed. And then overall, over the years, lots of things have changed. I changed a lot of things I've written. And finally, when I really felt the book is ready, I mean, I really wanted to, I told my fiance that I will wait 10 years until and unless I actually feel it here in my heart that, yep, this is ready to go out in the world.
And I think it is. I start reading it already, and I'm blown away because it's not just a book about trauma. And you do mention a little bit what took you to read the book, talk a little bit about the story and why, right? Your children. Because the children are a trigger. We want to have a better future for our children that we had. Mm-hmm. Repressing it. But you also have worship, and you invite the reader to take action with their own trauma. Because we all have trauma. Mm-hmm. We all have some kind of trauma growing up, living our lives. But sometimes we don't take the time to deal with it. And along the journey of the book, you have worships. You have, okay, what is going on? What's happening? Pick up the pen and start writing about you. So it becomes more about your own story while you take things along the journey. And I think that's unbelievable.
Thank you.
You know, best-selling Amazon for a reason. Yes, we talk about the Me Too movement, that, you know, there's a lot of people that got victimized. But sometimes we take that victim cake, mm-hmm. and we don't deal with the trauma, and we don't deal what took us there, what put us in that place. And we don't take the side of the other person. We all have children. You know, we have male children, female children. Mm-hmm. We don't want the female to be a victim. We don't want the male to be a victim. Or we don't want them to be the aggressor. So I think recognizing both sides and the part that society it takes into growing these men and women is important, you know, reflect on. So thank you for doing that and inviting to open the conversation. This is something that I think it was overdue.
No, I think you put it beautifully, you know, like we create this, and then we started using one story, and there are multiple stories. There are thousands, millions of stories. But using that as a blanket to define a whole sector or a gender of human beings. And in my mind, in my heart, that's not fair. I'm not asking for visibility in terms of, oh, look, give me attention or give us attention. I'm basically asking the same thing that everyone else is asking. Like, you cannot blanket one person's act or some person's or some people's act and define a whole gender. I want to be very clear on that. And also, that doesn't mean that I am against Me Too movement. If anything, I'm all for it, because right. All of us have to come together to actually make this worth it for our next generation. I think we are just living life in an autopilot. And these are the things that I wrote in the book. I mean, these were my thoughts. This is nothing that I wanted to write. It's kind of like, imagine it's kind of like a journal. And I just took it and just like every work I did, I just put it in the book. And I feel like we have created this almost as if to satisfy our own differences, and then we try to create that sector. Okay, biologically, physiologically, we are different. Mm-hmm. some people will say up to a mental, emotional level, we are different. But that doesn't change the fact that we are all human. So you cannot keep telling me that men cannot show their emotions, boys cannot cry, or even very simple thing, don't throw like a girl. What does that mean? I know there are way better female athletes that can go head to head and actually win against male athletes, if that's what we're talking about here. So what does it even mean? So if we hear these really and pay attention, just slow down for a minute and be aware of what is going on and how people are using and saying, that creates a belief system if you do not disrupt it. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, I went through it. I am healing. I am no more than you or no less than you. We are all in this together. And I have my ups and downs. Just because I wrote a book doesn't mean that this is why I keep telling about that workbook. That if you keep it simple, it's very easy to track. It's very easy to track your own behavior. You don't even need a journal after a certain point. I do that calm method in my head while I'm processing emotions. So once you start looking at and once you start paying attention and really slow it down, then you really realize like there are things that even we say needs to be filtered. But we don't want to accept it because that's exactly ego's job. It is meant to keep us that. And that's exactly why it was created. It's a male egoism. It's a patriarchal society. So we have, our forefathers have tried to create that, like, oh, we are the rulers. And that led us now at this generation. Now we are still in this false belief of men needs to be tough. I need to be tough. I cannot cry. My counterparts or my other friends would think I'm weak. Do you know I do not remember the exact percentage and I didn't put that in the book, but I just stated just over a blank, over an actual statement that there are athletes they have found who went on to become sports players or any level, like, you know, Division I, Division II, NFL level or, you know, NBA level, that I think majority of them were unison in one thing, males, is that at any given point of time, multiple times they were hurt, they were not able to play, but they still didn't tell their coach or their friends and still went on to play because they would think someone will judge them.
Yes.
And here I want to point out something. I wrote it in the book. If anyone is telling or saying in a way that I am not afraid, not being afraid of fear comes from fear itself. It's a fear of judgment. So just to say that itself creates a lot of confusion. And imagine now our next generation is looking at us. Social media, TV, radio. I mean, you name it. Today is just the world disconnected, right?
Yes. And it reminds me also, you mentioned the people that play sport, but the military sector is exactly like that.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
taught to be warriors. We're not supposed to show weakness, and that can inbred on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough once you have pain and trauma that you have to deal with. You kind of have to open up and stop being strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
Yeah. I think I'm glad like you actually pivoted to the topic, because I really wanted to address this, because one of the biggest thing is actually our men and women in uniform, right? Like, as you said, like, we train them, SEALs, Navy SEALs, Army, Air Force, everyone, because you have to face in a very difficult, stressful situation at any given point of time. That can be your home soil, that can be outside. So you have been given a task, a very honorable task of maintaining the, like, actually the peace by fighting. So that itself starts with very big confusion for most people when they're joining an army and all, like right after high school. And I personally feel that there should be a not just education, like a basic training, because I was researching into all this, right, when I was writing the book. There should be not just a basic training, combat training, and then graduate and then go. I think there should be also training for ahead of the, we should be proactive. Then we don't have to have face that level of problems later on. And it's already, it's an, a lot of people do not know. And if you do not know, let me share this with you all who are watching. And I'm pretty sure you know that this is a big silent pandemic that's going on too. Our military men and women are suffering. They're coming home. They're homeless. I mean, there's a major, major issue that's going on. It's not gaining as much popularity as it should. So having said that, I think like we all should be proactive and actually teach them in terms of give them the tools they will need. Meditation, journaling, teaching them about soft skills, about kindness, gratitude. You have to teach what our emotional foundation is, and then you can keep pushing for being tough, for being strong. Everything is okay. Tough has nothing to do with not expressing. Strong has nothing to do with no tears. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. I'm strong because I have the courage or vulnerability to express without any fear of judgment of anyone who is thinking about anything about me. Because at that point, you know you're truly free. You're not worried about anyone. So to go there, you also have to know, and it will help them. So I strongly believe that. I strongly believe that these are the things that needs to change. We are running around after our men and women come back, their mental health issues. VAs oversaturated. You and I both know that. And then what's going on is addiction, depression, mental health, suicide, and even mass shooting. Tell me one mass shooting where there's a female involved. Think about it.
I can recall one. Yeah.
So imagine that. So you can keep saying about gun reform and all that, and that's all good. I get it. But if you're not addressing the underlying situation of how are our boys and youth being raised and how we should prioritize soft skills like gratitude, kindness, team building, meditation from young age, you are looking at this in a very, very bigger fact, like big times, 10 times, 100 times our next generation, because it's only gonna get worse. Because if you do not intervene, there are a lot of hue and cry going on in this sector, I understand. But I feel like no one is really pushing on the education side of things. Everyone is reforming. Everyone is trying to create charity and bylaws. But no one is really, all it takes is just jump in. Like, just start educating your community. Start educating, then spread out from there. That's all it takes. And don't, I think like we get too hung up on, let me figure all of this out. And I'm a person, I never do. I just jump in and I feel it. This is my cause. And right now, this is my cause. This is my mission.
And it's a great mission. Because I believe, I 100% believe that we need to have the conversation and we need to be proactive. We need to address the root cause of the trauma and what takes people to be aggressors and you know, be put in those situations where they become victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it affects every sector. It affects men, mm-hmm. and I know your book is addressed to men, but I read the book, and I saw myself in the book as a military person, as a woman. So it's not excluding anybody, because we all go through some kind of trauma.
Yeah,
and we need to learn how to deal with it, and we need to teach your children so they don't repeat the same story. 7 generations, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think like that's another thing, and thank you for saying that, because that's exactly, I think, like, trauma doesn't know any gender, right? Our abuse doesn't know any gender. The problem is, because we have created this definition of how a gender should be, what is happening is, and especially, I'm talking about especially in child abuse, boys are not talking. And even if they talk, it's not taken seriously. So, or the third one is, for the family's sake, you have to keep it hush hush. So, and on the other side, I know girls and women who are abused. Some are taken seriously, some are not. So again, my point is, abuse doesn't know any gender. So why are we putting everything in a basket of, this is how boys should be, this is how girls should be? I think we really need to start addressing these. And I think majority of the point, like, it's being addressed. I'm not saying something new, but what I am saying, what is new, is the idea of boys and men, or boys, youth and men, have to follow a certain set of rules to be considered soft, to be considered strong, is unfair. And it's not only unfair, it's actually ridiculous, in my opinion. Because I'm a person, I'm a very emotional person. But that doesn't mean I'm not strong. At the same time, I'm considering myself a very strong person. So everyone has that. There's two sides. So just highlighting one side will only create a lot of confusion. And at the end of the day, if you really see, we are yin and yang in ourselves, outside. Just like outside world, men and women form the world, it's yin and yang. Same way in your own life, you have your own masculinity and your own femininity. We all have that. Which part you are focusing more on at what given point of time with that balance, that's what makes us a complete human being. It will never be perfect. No one's perfect. But at least it will help us understanding our purpose on this earth. Because if I do not channelize both sides of me, then I'm leaving a lot on the table as a human being. These traits are there for a reason. Emotions are there for a reason. So if I don't express, if I don't talk, if I say man up, my boy will do the same thing. My kids will do the same thing. As a matter of fact, my girl might also do the same thing. And this is what we are not realizing. So I will encourage all parents immediately. It's just something that you can take action right now, today. Take this as my call to action. Be mindful of your words, what you're saying to your kids. I am not saying do not teach them toughness, do not teach them strength, do not teach them like resilience, but also teach them the power in kindness, power in gratitude, the power of prayer, the power of understanding that we all have one purpose on this planet. We are here to show our own light. That's the first thing. You can keep searching for your purpose all your life long. But the basic purpose of us, all of us, are the same. I have a unique light. I'm not like you. And same thing, you're a unique person. You're not like me. Everyone has their own unique way. So don't get mixed in the basket of gender differentiation. Start with your kids. Start with your thing today. Like, hey, it's okay to cry. It's okay to express. And trust me, I'm saying it, but it's impossible. Sometimes it's definitely not possible, especially, you know, when you are a parent. Trust me on that one. There are times you are like, ooh. But I think then you are really giving them a fighting chance. Then you are really giving them a place and a reason to really, in their brain, to really start thinking even. Be mindful even. So that's my only call to action to all the parents who are watching. Just be mindful about your kids and just teach them, keep telling them to express. And the best way to do it is you do it. Children learn by watching what you're doing. You can give them 1,000 different advices. If you're not doing it, if you're not actually taking action on it, if they're not seeing you in action, they will not do it.
That's true. And we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to start there. Yeah. And we have to address our own trauma and generational trauma. And teach our children to be better than us. You know, be contributing member of society in a positive way. There's nothing wrong with a man allowing to feel everything, you know, happiness, sadness. It's okay to cry. A woman can be strong. Mm-hmm. It can be weak. It's okay to cry. You know, I don't enjoy it too much, but it's okay to cry sometimes. Because we need every single feeling. It's what makes us who we are. And the trauma and the things that we go up and down, sometimes it's what builds us up, mm-hmm. what makes us who we are, you know, how we react to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, our, as I said, like, you know, the more we practice and the more we learn, if we keep doing the same habits every day, we become that habit. And that habit comes from our values, and that values comes from our own environment that we grew up in. We pick up values. So I used to say, be you all the time. And now I say, be your values. Because without your values, you're not even there. You are your values. So that basic part of identifying who I am and what are my values, if you just write it down, and I actually did this exercise literally last week, again, because I think like values change, and that's where the growth is. We all change. We keep saying this word like, oh, yeah, we have changed. Well, we have not changed. Our values have changed. And then we started giving the priorities to those values, and the other values that we had took a backseat. So if the, our values are changing, if we can change, and that means we actually are growing, hopefully, we can change on the other side. But when we are growing and we are stacking new values, that's a win. So if that's the case, that means this work is not that difficult. It's just that we have to agree to do it. Agree to pause and reflect and see it and change and be accountable for it and take ownership of it. Like, you know what? I just told my kid to shut up. Why are you crying? I'm just giving you an example. So then you can actually pause and reflect, like, what did I really just do? So that value comes from where? That value comes from your fear of being judged as a bad parent in a very simple way. That value may come from, oh, this is how I had been raised. And I don't know any better. So, and that value might come from just pure, you know, lack of understanding of parenting. So either way, if we can identify that, and if we are eager to change, imagine the possibilities that you can change, because now you have a blank canvas and you know what is that you don't want. So write those down. These are the things I have. I don't like it. Let's change it. Oh, these are the things I still want to have. I want to bring it for the next chapter of my life. So then you're adding, you're stacking new behaviors, and you keep practicing that long enough, you will be that behavior. You will be your values. So yes, it's possible. It's still possible to express. It's still possible to talk. It's still possible to cry. You just need to build up that muscle. And that's exactly what we call comfort zone, out of comfort zone. So see what I did there. I actually, what I did, and in this exactly this book is about, like, I, you can say all of this, but if you do not break it down to the foundational level to understand, then you're going to sit there and spend days and months to understand, when, like, what are our even values are? What are we even talking about? And you know how I know that? From personal experience, I was that guy. And I still am that guy on different things. And I actually, this is why I have to step back and actually think, like, ah, okay, let me think about it. Is it really serving me? Or is it really worth it? Having my mind and my sleep and lose sleep on that, or behave in a very egotistical manner? Because, hey, guess what? We all have egos. Egos are not going anywhere. It's just that you need to learn ways to keep your ego in check. Our ego is not going anywhere. Trust me on that one. If you think like that, get over it. That's a false notion. Ego is here to stay, and ego actually keeps you alive. So there's a good part of the ego, but the problem is, like, there's a majority of the part of ego comes, then becomes a connotation. And again, same thing. We are so quickly just to label everything. We labeled ego as bad thing too. No, ego has good purpose. But majority of the time, we actually are so much about us and how we are perceived and how people are seeing. We get into this loop, and it's very difficult to break out of it. But if you really manage to even just once, to yourself, no one's watching. No one's watching you. To yourself, that, hey, really, what are my values that are not serving me? And then next line, right? Because of that, who do you think are suffering that are closest to you? Your life will change immediately. And trust me on that one. I still get goosebumps, because that's exactly what I thought, and that's exactly what I did. So again, this book is literally what I did. I just literally took it and just put it right there.
That's
and then of course there's trial and error. There's trial and error of that, but yeah.
And that's unbearable. Because you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, start with ourselves. But we have so many people depending on ourselves. How many of us have children that are looking at us and they kind of defining who they're going to be? And you're the first role model. So I invite everybody to pick up a copy of the book. It's in a special right now. Mm-hmm. And share it with somebody that needs it. Share with your children. Share with your family, your friends. Because it's a really good book, honestly. It's going to make you reflect. It's going to make you think about your values, about your trauma, and what is your why. I really enjoy it. How can we help you? I know you want to go on tour all around the country. How can we support you? How can everybody that's watching, and we got a couple, John, Jessica, Donald, that are saying hi. How can they help you to take your message?
Start the conversation. I mean, you don't have to help me. I want you guys to help yourself and help the next generation. And this is very, it may sound cheesy, but look, man, I'm a person. I say things as is. I'm not here to be a coach. I'm not here to be a teacher. I'm not here to be a guru. I'm not here to be anyone. I'm just another guy, another parent, another dad who had enough, who had been sexually abused as a kid, went through a depression, went through an anxiety phase, went through a PTSD, and I still have PTSD. And then I went to addiction, and then there was emotional abuse again on me. So all of that created a pattern, and I didn't want to seep that cycle to my own son. And that's where it all started. So I really urge you guys, and I told you guys in the beginning of the show or sometime, start with yourself. Don't worry about others yet. Start with yourself and sit down and really write it down. What are my values? And then after that, seeing that values, just write it down. Like, who is suffering? And I want you to do me a favor. Start the list of who with you on top.
Yeah.
You got to start with you on top. Trust me, you will look at those values differently. Because you are suffering. That's why you are giving that to others.
Yes.
So the behavior is coming from the suffering. So you need to put yourself on top and look at those values and basically say, hey, I'm going to take this one with you. So for example, for me, I have my 6 values, right? Like it changed, but last week when I did, I basically had 6 values, and then I basically wrote them. Gratitude, because everything for me is a gratitude. People talk about family, faith. Everything starts with gratitude. More I'm grateful, and that's what I believe in. That's my values. More I'm grateful for everything that I have, my family, my beliefs, then I will have more, so I will automatically get it. So this is what my way of thinking. Your way is completely maybe different, and that's okay. There's no right or wrong, but you really need to identify those. So mine is gratitude, making a difference. That's big for me because I feel like that gives me the immense pleasure. Like that makes me the most feel alive, making a difference in our next generation, and doing things for our next generation. Vulnerability, that's just hand in hand with me. And fairness, because the fairness for me was really not about others, because I'm very fair. It was on me, because sometimes I overcommitted, sometimes I overpromised, and actually it was not fair on me, because then I was also operating from that perspective. So when I did my homework last week, I'm like, hey, you know what, let's step back, let's add that to the list. Because in my head, I would always say like, no. I mean, I cannot stop thinking, like, oh, I have, it has to be on my, like on my corner, or it has to be fair on me. No. Most of the time we keep saying that word, like, oh, it's unfair, it's unfair. Basically what we are saying is like, it's actually not really a little bit in our favor. So it's not the fair itself, definition, how we are using it is perspective. So anyway, that's completely for another day. But start with that. Create your values, create the list, and then for rest of it, all I ask is go and talk to your library, wherever you are. Reach out to me on Facebook, on Instagram. Let me know. I will come to your city and I will actually do a event at the library to do more, so that this discussion starts happening in every corner. This is not a very easy discussion, I'll tell you that. There will be controversies. There are controversies. And I'm all in. We can have a very good discussion. There's nothing to be controversial. There's nothing to be defensive about.
Well, I can't wait to see you in Miami. And then we talk about that.
Yeah, me too.
And so I'm definitely reaching out to the library to have you here and start the conversation, because I think it's an overdue conversation. And for everybody that's asking about the book, can you give us the name of the book? It's a long name, Break Up With You.
Break Up With Yourself. And on Amazon, if you just type Rich Mitra, my name, that's probably the easiest, R-I-S-H-M-I-T-R-A, and it'll show up. And you have Kindle version. There's a deal going on. I put 99 cents because honestly, I just want that this book to get as many eyes as possible. Share it with your friends. Share it with yourself. Read it. Gift it. And help. There are workbooks that you can actually do with your. I don't know the rating thing, but there are actual workbooks you can share with your kids if they're able to read and write. It's a very priority and ease graph and all that. So.
And I'm going to be sharing the link on the comments of the video so for you guys to go straight.
Oh, another thing. The book also has a free gift up front. So check that out. There's a link when you buy the book, Kindle or paperback. You just type it in and it's actually a very good. I was talking initially that how it all started. I started looking at my patterns for 3-4 months that gave me the baseline. It's a mental health calendar, I call it. That's how I actually started tracking me. So I actually, it's a gift to everyone. I actually finessed it a little bit, made it more nicely and more motivational. But yeah.
Well, I invite everybody to pick up a copy of the book. You won't regret it. And definitely how they can reach out to you, let us know. We're going to be adding the link to the book so you can go grab it today. Don't wait. But also, remember, you're in charge of your own story. You can always, always do something about it, because you get to write that chapter every single day. And I think a good point to start is start by doing those exercises that is in the book right now, because they're very valuable. Thank you for being here. Do you have anything else that you want to add? And how can they, don't leave without telling us, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so you can look up my foundation, dadsanddeadliftsfoundation.org. Niyuka can put it in the chat. And also my social, Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram, Dads and Deadlifts, D-A-D-S, it's dads. .and.deadlifts, like an exercise, like the workout. I'm very active. It's just me, so I reply directly to you. I don't have any VA or all that. As I said, like, you know, you're just talking to another guy just like you meet, and reach out to me if you have any questions, men. Reach out. There's no it's a complete safe space. It's a judgment-free zone. And even if you're women, and if you want a perspective of boys and men, reach out.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And with that, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I want to say hi to Jessica, John, Donald that took the time to listen. One of the comments, and Carlene Johnson, they want to say, thank you. Joan is very interested in the book. She said, this is a great conversation. And Jessica say hi. And Donald say hi.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. And we will have the replay available to you. And, you know, share it as much as you can, because anybody that needs to listen to the story and needs to pick up that book, they should be able to get the message. So, bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of Founders Time Podcast. Remember, subscribe to our newsletter at founderstime.com for more tips and tricks on how to make your podcast great. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.